Everyone dreams about living an uncommon life, but how we define that dream is very different for each of us. And for most, it's a lifelong pursuit. Welcome to the Uncommon Life Project podcast. We're going to introduce you to people who are living that life or enjoying the journey to get there. We're going to also give you some tools, tricks, and tips for starting or accelerating your own efforts to live an uncommon life, a life worth celebrating and savoring. Please welcome your hosts, Brian Dewhurst and Philip Ramsey.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Philip Ramsey. You are listening to the Uncommon Life Project, and I'm going to do things a little different today.
It's a special one.
It is. You want to introduce yourself?
Oh, yeah. I am Brian Dewhurst.
I feel like we should have some audio and some crowd, maybe like a slow clap in, because why, Brian? Why should we have a slow clap for this one?
Today is the 100th episode.
Which is kind of a big feat. There's a lot of people that start a podcast and don't finish it. I feel like we're just getting started. It's our 100th episode and we got 1,000 more to give. 100, here we are.
I don't even know what to say. It's a little, when we started this, it was like, okay, we'll try this. And we kind of done a couple seasons and now it just kind of crept up on me. We're at 100.
So. I know. It's great. So instead of trying to put words to it, I felt like we would bring in one of my good friends, Ben Foost, to interview us. Ben is a rock star. He helps us make sure our podcasts sound good. So he has everything to blame, although he has a tough job because we might not be the most audio technical. And he tries to make it as good as he can. He also has his own podcast. It's called Live from the Path. It's just him and his friends talking about what God's teaching them, what Jesus is doing in their life. And it's awesome. If you ever could listen to it, I listen to it. It's awesome. So,
and he has a gorgeous voice.
Ben, come on, man.
Here's the deal. Flattery will get you everywhere,
yes.
Brian. But thank you for mentioning that. it's been a lot of fun. Just so you guys know, it's been a lot of fun listening to the Uncommon Life podcast. Like one of the benefits I have is that as part of my job, I get to take it all in, right? Like I get to hear about what people are doing and like how they're looking at life differently in ways that I don't know, folks didn't see. I don't know, it's been a lot of help to me. So, you know,
awesome.
It could be like, it could be the grocery store back room podcast and maybe I don't get as much from it.
Right.
But it's kind of your personality.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. There is, actually Trader Joe's does a podcast.
And, do they?
But that's the thing. It's not quite enough to compel me to go out and do it,
right.
But I hear about it. I'm like, well, maybe I would listen to it, but I don't ever flip the switch.
Yeah. Well, thanks for being here, man. This will be great.
So here's what we're going to do. We're going to put you on the other side of the mic, figuratively.
Mm-hmm.
We want to hear about what your experiences have been doing 100 podcasts.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to start with the, you guys, some of you are numbers guys. Philip's kind of an I'm not sure he's a numbers
he's
guy.
Not a
we
numbers
know
guy.
I'm not that
okay.
guy. I'm not that guy.
All right. But we're going to start with some numbers. So, and this was as of, let's go with like 1 a.m. this morning. Okay.
Okay. Perfect.
Okay.
Yeah.
Total downloads for the Uncommon Life podcast, 49,751.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know we had a number on that.
No,
that's amazing.
So you're 250 downloads away from 50,000 clean listens.
Wow.
Now, how does that hit you?
I don't know if we've ever done it for listeners,
yeah.
But we've done it for like hopeful that it triggers something in somebody to then push them off to this uncommon life. 50,000 listeners on our podcast is humbling. I'll start there.
Yeah.
But also, I don't really know what to compare it to. Because like somebody else might have 100 downloads and have like 500,000.
I think we had a guy on and he had just started his podcast. And I don't know if it was like his 7th episode or he was doing them like daily though or something, like every 3 days. But I mean, he already had like 100,000
mm-hmm.
downloads. And I was like, oh man.
I'll tell you what's demoralizing is you go to Facebook groups of people who are in like podcasting and the people who talk the most are the guys who really want you to know that they should be talking the most. And so I've seen a number of guys like that were like, hey man, I'm on 3 episodes. I've got 58,000 downloads. Is that good?
Yeah. Right, right.
Now, I will tell you though, relatively speaking, based upon the number of downloads you guys get within the first 7 days of most episodes, you're within the top 25% of podcasts that are on the market.
Oh, wow.
Well, there we go.
I feel way better.
I do too. Thanks. That's why Ben's here, folks.
I think it's a point of reflecting. I've definitely been the guy, and the only way I can relate to this, and Philip knows this, is like, you know, when you make a meal and you're like, everyone's like, oh, that was a great meal, you know, and you're like, I could use a little more garlic. I'm
right.
trying to be at a point in my life where I'm like, no, it was a great meal.
It was all right. Yeah.
So I'm good. I'm good with the number.
So 50,000. And
amazing.
Here's the deal. At the at one point, and I don't know if it was a marketing thing, we did get an email that we were like trending on the top podcast for Belgium.
Yeah.
Or something.
That doesn't surprise me.
There's only three podcasts coming out of Belgium.
The Belgies, which I think is how it's pronounced, a plural Belgium. Mm. They just can't get enough of it. That doesn't surprise me one bit. And so I was thinking about, like, if you got your rough podcast about it half an hour or so per podcast.
That's right.
So if we think about close to 50,000 downloads, just so you know, if this doesn't make you a little bit nervous, if you lined all those up, that's you guys talking for three straight years. If you take all those listens.
That's crazy.
Which means your voices are like permeating to every corner of the world.
Oh, now that's scary.
For the glory or for the rest of it. That's what's happening. Okay.
Thanks for putting that together.
Yeah, that's no problem. Just something to think about is you see a random guy in the street. He's like, 3 years I've been on that guy's mind. It's very possible. He's cranking all the downloads. So let's start talking about, I think it's interesting to look at some of your most listened episodes, like what things are hitting folks. What's interesting about this is that looking at it, a lot of them are close to the same. I think you've got people who they dig on what you're doing. They're open to kind of a broad slice of life, and so all this stuff is interesting to them. And so I wouldn't say there's slam dunks in here. However, I think as we look at the top five, here we go. Number one. Oh, actually, let's go from number five. Let's build the suspense.
Back it up.
Number five, episode 38. Facing challenges and building your dreams with Ian and Christina Nelson Johnson.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Great podcast.
So actually, maybe I'm going to make my way up to the first four. So I want you to tell me if you think there's any themes here, like anything that connects to, okay?
Okay.
So episode 11, Caleb Walsh and What's Behind 500 Doors. Next level up, okay? Number three, the inaugural Why We're Podcasting episode.
Okay. The first one ever.
Yeah. And that hit number three.
Which is good. It means like people are going back and listening to
that. That was Philip's idea. I got to give you credit on that.
Yeah. Or because it's one of the top ones, it could also indicate that they listened to that one and then did not listen to anyone in the future because they're like,
yeah, that's valid. That's a valid point right there, Ben.
Something to consider.
Something to think through. Yeah.
All right.
We'll edit that one out.
Episode six. Uncommon Banking, the Truth and Beauty of Cash Value Life Insurance.
Okay. Is that number one?
That's number two.
Okay.
Number two. I've actually listened to that one recently. Okay. I was making my way through some of the back catalog.
What'd you think?
It's super interesting, actually. Okay. And it made me, and I started hunting, pecking around for stuff to learn more.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
It's interesting because just quickly, that's the reason why we're still here today is that we understood that strategy really well.
Yeah.
And we weren't telling people like, this is for you. We were just saying, hey, here's a strategy you might not have heard about.
Yeah.
And produced some value there. And people like, okay, maybe you're decent at what you're doing.
So, yeah. Well, and the premise of kind of be your own bank, it's a grabber because you're like, I've met myself. There's no way I'm my own bank.
Right.
But watching it play out and like at the end of the episode, I'm like, oh yeah, okay. Okay. Not only does this not like, this isn't, I don't know how else to put this. It's not scammy. Like it's just a right way to use tools in front of you.
Right. Right. And I think, you know, as time has progressed, the banks have become a bigger antagonist. So it's like, you know, people's animosity to what's going on, I think is kind of grown over time. So.
Yep. Yep. Good. Agreed.
And number one.
Number one. Episode two, The Seven Sources of residual income.
So basically a lot of people are dropping off
listening. Maybe they'll get to one, two, three, four,
and out. Then,
now, sayonara. In the defense of every episode henceforth, they haven't been on the blocks as much.
Right.
Right? Like they've been on the books for quite a bit longer, so people have a chance to go through and picking them up. And I would say that actually I was starting to look at some of the ones like even 2020, 2021. But I do think thematically it's around some of these core things. I think what I see in your podcast numbers is people are trying to get a sense for I want a different way to look at the world. Like I'm trying my best and people start to recognize that they're limited by their experiences, by the things that they've seen out there. And they're like, I just want to make sure I'm not missing something. And I think what's interesting about what you guys do is that they are missing something, but it's not like something like wild under a rock somewhere. It's something that can be easily connected to that you can recognize that this is an extension of something that they already had on their mind. They couldn't articulate it. Maybe they haven't seen it. I think those are the themes and the things what people are looking for.
Right. People want a paradigm shift.
Yes.
Especially with money. Because money is like there's either shame or frustration or whatever they're feeling.
Yeah.
And just sometimes come to us is just like, I just need a different perspective on how I'm viewing my current situation.
Yep.
And I think money is fluid, and so, you know, a lot of these concepts or things, I think people have been percolating on them, or they do their own research on Google, But the step to actually implement them is the hard part, right?
Oh, yeah.
And especially if you have a spouse or, you know, you have different risk tolerances. Philip does a great job of, you know, talking about people's risk tolerance and, like, you know, maybe your wife is wired one way or your husband's wired the other. And so, like, how do you marry all that together and actually make decisions and make stuff happen? So,
yep, I think there is a disconnect between what people can start to believe is possible and then recognizing that they can be part of the possibility. And I think that is, you've got a couple of burdens there on expanding, and you can create opportunity and hope in folks, but if they don't believe that they can see themselves in it, and a lot of times you can't manufacture that in yourself. As hard as you try, there's always this sense of, and it doesn't even have to be like debilitating doubt. It's just like, I just don't know if it's me because I didn't think of it, and I'm not sure what the path looks like, and could I screw it up? Mm-hmm. Those are kind of the things that sit on people's minds, you know?
Right.
Okay, so those are that's how people are reacting to your podcast. Let's talk from your perspective. Maybe top two episodes that you've shot that you've been part of.
Yeah, I know mine.
Okay, let's have it.
Although Ian and Christine and Nelson Johnson, when you said that, I was like, oh, that was a really good one. My two that I would say before that, I would say that Jesse Cole with the Savannah Bananas was my man. Poor Brian.
I didn't get to see the yellow suit.
Yeah, I came up, and usually we do this without video. But at first, we were doing it on Zoom at that time.
Yeah.
And he comes in hot with a yellow tuxedo on, like, with a top hat.
Like Curious George, like the man in the yellow hat. Like, that's what we're talking about.
Right. And he was like, wait, this isn't a video? And I was like, no. And I was like, I hope you didn't get dressed up for this, for that. And he was like, oh, no, this is my outfit every day.
I had it on anyway.
Yeah, right. So, but it was such a dynamic interview and podcast. And I think chances are he does a lot. I know that Jesse Cole does a lot of podcasts. And at the end, he probably is just flattering us, and he does this all the time. But he was like, hey, that was actually really enjoyable, because we went down of like, okay, what's your wife thinking at this point when you're selling the house and you're going to go buy an old rickety stadium? How do you do it? So for me, Jesse Cole was one of my favorites. I have another one, but I'll let you go next.
No, he's actually on my list too. And the thing I would add is, if they're going to make a movie about any one of the guests on our podcast, I think that one is the top of the list. Like, just an American story, you know, buying a baseball team with your wife, like selling everything you have, you know, basically like sleeping on a mattress in a van or something. It's just, and he's great at telling his story, but it was such an authentic American, like, you know, the American dream story.
Yep.
And so the other thing I'd say about that podcast, I think I had three or four full pages of notes. The business and just life wisdom and the principles that he shared in that podcast, I was just blown away. So that was definitely,
I would also say too, for Jesse, he had a different paradigm that he viewed the world.
Yeah.
For example, he was like, hey, when you go to a baseball field, what's your number one thing when you're taking your family of five? Price. Sure was.
It's the 42 times you open your wallet to get through the game.
And so he recognized that and said, okay, so what we do is an all-inclusive deal. Like, you get the ticket, you get the whole concessions for free. Not for free, but we price it all in.
Right.
And so, like, he was forward-thinking enough to try to set himself in the other people's shoes, which is brilliant. But then also, too, just, like, we entertain. Like, that's really why you go to a baseball field, is just to entertain.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, so for me, there was just, like, so many, like, holy cow.
Right, right.
You're taking me to the woodshed in a good way. So
yeah, my wife and I are still talking about how to fit in a Savannah Bananas game to our
schedule. Believe, and we might have this on record, that you are offered to throw the first banana at the game. I think that he said that.
Well, and I think I promised that I would get them to the Field of Dreams here in Iowa.
Yeah, probably.
And so I feel like I have some work to do.
Yeah,
so,
probably do.
Oh, yeah. You're,
that was a reminder.
You're a few steps in on that? Or
I just remembered that. Okay, so okay. It's a good thing we're doing this.
All right, my second is Brett Gilliland. And he was awesome. Like, this was a fun interview. Poor Brian could barely get a question in, because I was like leaning in. And just the way that he would help business owners really start looking at their business in a way that, here's the most important thing. This is how you take it to the next level. I loved it. It was just a really interesting interview that took me off guard. And by the end of it, we're talking about leadership.
Yeah.
And so it was a fun one for me. But
yeah. Yeah. But so it's the theme so far, and kind of what you guys are saying, like, some of the podcasts that stick out to you are the ones that contain surprises, like where places where, like, especially with as varied as stuff that you guys get into, like, there's things that would surprise me that maybe you wouldn't blush at.
Yeah. Right. And I think the thing with Jesse Cole and Brett, like when we first started the podcast, it was like, you know, we're reaching out to people we know.
Yeah.
And then we started getting referrals to people like, oh, you should have this person on the show. So like Jesse, we had no idea who he was, you know? So I came in totally cold of like,
oh, no kidding.
I, you know, in a little bit behind the curtain, like I really don't prepare for the podcast at all. Like I try to just channel the Holy Spirit and like, let's just, you know, just be in the moment and let it happen what happened. And it just, yeah, it just blew my socks off that whole podcast. And so that's kind of been the fun part too. It was, you know, like when you hear like a big movie's coming out and then you're like, I did that. Philip and I just had this with Batman, the Batman.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I heard it wasn't that good. And he's like, dude, you're crazy. It was amazing. So, but you know, when you hear that, like, oh wait, it kind of taints it. So I try to just come in, like not have any preconceived notions and just let's see what happens. And so anyways.
All right. Oh, now, so you had a number two yet.
Yeah, I had a number two. The other one for me actually was Jodi Steinhauer, which was kind of random because we got referred to her as well and had no idea what she was doing. And she's a Canadian businesswoman and just was a boss. But the main thing that she had done was weaving in kind of charity and giving back to community through her businesses. And I have a real vision for that. We haven't gotten to that point yet with Uncommon Wealth. I'm hoping to get there soon. So that kind of really hit a nerve with me of kind of some things that have been on my mind for a long time, but I haven't got to scratch that itch yet.
Yep.
And so it was just a real, it was just a really amazing story and the amount of people that she's touching. And then she coaches businesses on how to integrate their passions and charities to, So her reach and kind of the ripple effect of her life and what she's teaching is and living is, you know, really profound. So
I agree with that. And here's the thing. At the end of the day, with all of our guests, there's always one time or one spot where I'm like, oh, I needed to hear that.
Yeah, for sure.
Brian, too. And so it's not like we know everything. Mainly, I'm the one who kind of like coordinates who's going to be on. And there's even times where like, I don't know him very well. So like, hey, let's have a quick pre-interview.
Yeah.
And then Brian doesn't, which I appreciate because then he can listen to it for the first time.
Yeah.
He can be like, well, tell us that story. And I kind of been like, well, we just talked about that yesterday. Well, the listeners didn't hear that. So, but there's always one time in the episode that we're interviewing. I'm like, wow, like that's really
that
good.
That was for me.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Totally.
That's awesome. Actually, that was one of the things I was going to ask is that, you know, like thinking even of your top two episodes, you know, can you think of things that like changed about not just what you heard, but like anything about your business that you've said, look, I want to look at that. I want to change something based upon what I heard. But it sounds like, you know, it's more of a universal experience. You're picking up morsels, you know, all over the place.
Every time we do a podcast.
I think the one thing that I've learned, I talked about this on one of the podcasts recently, but I'm going to hit it again because I think it's important. And I think especially in America, we have this, like, I don't know if it's pressure or expectation that you just got to work all the time. Like, you've got to constantly be employed or, like, doing something.
Right.
And the theme that I've seen from a lot of our guests is that they had actually a period where they weren't working and had that downtime to like really focus, recalibrate of like, what am I doing and where is my life going?
Yeah.
And that pause is really powerful. Mm. Philip had a pause in his career that I think was powerful. And so that theme, but it's been interesting as we meet with clients or entrepreneurs, they're scared of that pause. And it's like, no, like, you should actually embrace that gap and like step into it so that you really know what you're going to do next is really aligned and focused. And so that's kind of one of the themes I've gotten out of, you know, the first 100 episodes.
Yeah. It's odd to look at a pause as an action, like as an intentional space, as opposed to something that like it's that you've been burdened with, but really it's something that says like, I'm intentionally doing that so I can see this thing clearly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right on. So, for having done at episode 100, that's a lot of episodes under your belt.
Mm.
And so...
Yes, there is.
There's a generic what have you learned, but let's go maybe a little bit down one and say, what were things that you started out of the gate doing and then through time you're like, I think we should probably stop that.
Or feedback that we're told to stop that.
Yeah, right.
That.
Hey, you should knock that off.
Yeah. All right. I know where mine is. We used to name the person that does the intro...
The lady voice.
Yeah, we used to name her every time. It was a different name. Anyway, there was like people who were like, I don't know, just stop that. So I was like, dang it. It was like my favorite thing. Like, what name are we going to call her today?
So Katrina, shout out for you.
Right, or whoever it was. We never met her,
I was going to ask, it's one of my questions. Like, did we land on something? Did we land on like the consensus she's most definitely a Stacy or something?
No.
No, it didn't.
No.
I think kind of like Katrina.
Okay, it's a point of contention. This is why this had to go.
That's right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
I think for me was you could really tell when an episode was really good.
Yeah.
And when an episode was like, oh, that didn't go well.
Yeah.
You know, and it took a little bit to get there, but and we've had to reshoot several podcasts, either from a technical error
mainly
or,
that reason.
You know, but yeah. And so, yeah, you kind of get a feel real quick, like within the first 5-10 minutes of a podcast of like, oh, this is good. Like, this is good. We're going to keep going. And then other, or like, ooh, this is rough.
Yeah.
So, but
sometimes Brian and I will usually always be in studio together.
Yeah.
And then sometimes like our guests are across the country. And so Brian and I can lock eyes when we feel like this isn't going as well as we thought we are. So look at each other like, what are we going to do now? You know, like, oh boy. And it was interesting. The person that kind of told us to start with podcasting, he's like, hey, there's always this like card you can play.
Yeah.
The Trump card, which is like, hey, I don't know what happened, but the audio just seemed really bad for some reason on that. So, but we've never done that. We've always just said, you know what? Like there's still content in there that I think is valuable.
Yeah. But I was going to say, if you ever tell somebody that, you got to tell me. That way I don't go to that guy and say, hey, look, I do podcast work. Yes. Oh, you're the audio guy for Uncommon Life,
right,
huh?
Right. I'll do that.
So looking back at all the different folks you've had on the show, and based upon what we've talked about already, this may be like all of them, but like anybody that's like burning in your bones, you're like, boy, I'd love to have this person back on and see how things are going.
So good. You know, all right, this is a true behind the veil here. We thought about maybe even going, because I would say every person that we have on the show is still on this path of the uncommon life.
Mm-hmm.
And so to get an update from them, I think would be super powerful to like, okay, 3 years ago you were here and now where are you here now? And like, what's changed? And so we've even talked about, do we go back to all the people and try to re-interview them and kind of like do a better job of prepping and listening to the, listening to the episode and being like, all right, here's a couple of things that you said, where are you now? And kind of give a snapshot of like a before and after, if you will.
Yeah.
But I would say any guest that we've had on the show, I'd say like, I would love to get them back on the show because I have questions of where they're at now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the, you know, obviously the life journey and being an entrepreneur and following your passion, you know, it evolves and you hit different stages of life. And I think there's wisdom in, you know, communicating or hearing from entrepreneurs as they, you know, encounter those different stages, you know. I'm going to be more specific since Philip went generic, and I'm going to say Gabe Glenn. Gabe is a, you know, super entrepreneur. He's actually here in town, so this one would be easy to have back on. But I think Gabe and what he was doing when he first kind of, like, we were... Like, we knew Gabe before he started Make You Save.
Right.
And so, like, we kind of saw that whole formulation of the idea. Like, he took the break that I kind of talked about previously. He took a year off or a year and a half. He did a podcast. He got to interview Jeff Immelt, who was the former CEO of General Electric. Mm-hmm. And had a really cool podcast, tapped into those roots of actually his dad was a manufacturing plant manager.
Yeah.
And anyways, that kind of pause and that break and kind of pushing into the podcast and, you know, his dad's roots. And that was the genesis of the idea for the business. And so we kind of got to see that, you know, come to life. And he's such a great guy, great entrepreneur. And I said early on, I worked in consulting. And so I worked on $1 billion companies. And I was like, early on, I was like, this is a $1 billion deal.
Yeah.
And he's well on his way to getting there. And so I think for me, just seeing that from kind of the pause to conception, to launch, and everything they're doing now would be a fun one to have back on.
I like that because I think if you think about the life of an entrepreneur, like you don't ever stop. You're not stop being an entrepreneur. And if one of the gaps that people have is maybe not always a fear, but like there is an unknown in front of you. And they're like, hey, even if this is successful now, I'm going to be 50. I'm going to be 60. What does that look like?
Right.
And like it's such a varied answer. It could look like a lot of things, but there's also kind of a pattern to it.
Yeah.
With that you can learn or at least take comfort that it shaped out
right.
as people kind of made their way through it. And so I think I think that is an inspiring in and of itself to show that it does progress and it doesn't stop, but it does mature. And you can look at it and not have to be so, I don't know, trepidatious over what 10 years from now may be.
For sure.
And you know what? That's funny because just quickly, both Brian and I, when we were thinking about this 100th episode, we both said Gabe Glenn was the person that was going to have the most impact to people
yeah.
in his life. So that's kind of cool. Just
yeah.
kind of a quick
yeah, one. That is pretty cool. So let's talk about those who have yet to be.
Mm.
So you've reached out to folks, you've got people to come on. Who would you like to interview that you haven't gotten to yet?
Yeah. So for the 100th episode, I did want to try to get Bob Goff on the show. And Bob Goff to me is a guy, he's a writer. If you have read any of his books, you understand like the paradigm shift that he kind of operates in is like lifelong. It's like you're going to the grocery store, there's like a life lesson to be had.
Yep.
So I just love the way that he perceives the world, and I think he'd be really fun to interview. And honestly, even better than Bob Goff, I'd like to talk to his wife.
No doubt.
To see like how does he do it and how do you support him in such a high capacity? Like I'm always trying to help people. I'm trying to change the world. Like how in the world? So maybe even better, Bob Goff's wife,
Mrs. Goff. Actually, so on our radio show, that Bob Goff had come up. I want to say within the last year or so, and we had that exact conversation. Is like you know he let someone use his boat and do this, and it feels like it's just an open door to being. What you may perceive as being put out, and he's like, "No, I want to put it on. Go for it." And you just know Mrs. Goff, has got to have some thoughts.
Sweet Maria,
that's right.
She's got some thoughts. Yep, love it.
Yeah. Well, you reached out to him for our book because you were like, "I want to put my phone number in the book," because he puts his phone number in the book, right?
Yeah, it was kind of like a, you know, those desperate times called for desperate measures. Yeah. And I was like, my question to Bob is it seems like he has ample number of time. Like you and I have 24 hours in the day. Right. Feels like he has at least 54,
How
are you doing that? So I ended up like basically calling him. I got a book out and I looked at his phone number and I called him I ended up having a conversation with him. So it's real. His phone number works.
Awesome.
And one of the questions I had at the end of his, conversation. I was like, should I put my number in the book? He's like, yeah, like you can always change it. You know, like, right. Of course you'd say that. Like, yeah. Anyway.
So. I mean, this is coming from the guy who's doing the Gregorian plus calendar, who's got the extra hours. So.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Brian, how about you?
I'm split. I think Coach K, so Mike Krzyzewski's coach, and right now they won last night. So we're in the middle of the March Madness and they won. I've been a huge Duke fan my entire life. I mean, he's basically the like winningest coach in college basketball. I just think the wisdom.
What would be the question? Your first question for Coach K?
I don't know. It'd probably just be like, "Can I have your autograph?"
Oh,
he's like something lame, you know?
Or like, "Why did you agree to this?"
But
we only have 50,000 downloads.
And then like, if you hear the story about how he like they took a real chance on him. He was a young dude coaching at the time, and. He's been there ever since. Now he is the program, you know, he's iconic and just the, you know, the other side of it too, I think a lot of it, and they talk about it in the program is, you know, he was really like the father to a lot of these guys, you know, that not so much like they came from a bad home or anything, but just being away from home and spending so much time with him. And so just kind of the wisdom and life principles on top of the basketball and how you build teams and how you get people to peak at the right time. I mean, just... I'm just in awe of his career and his wisdom. So
yeah, there's a lot to balance and manage and figuring out where to push, where to encourage.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, again, it's not a non-entrepreneurial conversation. Like that same kind of thing is
right,
in there.
Yeah, right.
And I think I was thinking about even some of the folks you've had on, and then just talking about Bob Goff. There is just something so interesting to me about people who seem to take in the world differently, but like without effort. Like something where you would hear them speak and you go, yes, I want to take it in that way. And then I have to try and I fail and I succeed and I fail and I succeed. And then like, there they are over there with putting no effort into it.
Right.
Like just how it comes in.
Right.
You know, like, it's just so fascinating.
That's a great point.
Yeah. They're just sailing along and the wind's behind them.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, okay, this is obscure. There was a Hugh Grant, Sandra Bullock movie called 2 Weeks Notice. Anybody see that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So, long story short, he ends up, he becomes very dependent on her as a lawyer. She's just supposed to be his lawyer. And she just starts ending up in all his day-to-day decisions. And there's a point where she gets frustrated and he goes, look, I just have to know what you think. That came to me when I was, I think it was after listening to something, somebody you had on. And I'm like, I just would want to know, like, I'd feel like I can't even make any decisions. Can you just tell me what you think about this? Cause like, you just, you take it in so differently.
Good. Right. So good.
So, speaking of podcasts that like we talked about ones where like, hey, Slam Dunk, I want to talk to this person again. Hey, I think these are the top ones for me. Are there any that you did where you thought, I'm not sure if this is going to be a tickler?
Yeah.
But it turned out where you're like, I'm totally surprised. I loved this.
Oh, that you loved it. Okay. Yeah. So like a sleeper.
Yeah.
A sleeper
one. That's right.
Okay. Yeah, I got that. Rick Cordero for me. We were talking about disability insurance, like individual disability insurance. Like, okay, what? He was awesome.
He was.
Like, I was like engaged and we were laughing. And like, if you know Rick Cordero, I know him personally. Like you, that totally makes sense. But when you talk about something as dry as disability insurance, you would never think. And I'm telling you what, he did so good. It was a good one for me.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of a different answer.
Because you already mentioned the other one.
Because I already mentioned the other one, but... yeah, I mean, for me, it was that Jody Steinhauer one. I mean, just was like, what is this going to be about? And I didn't have a lot of color, and but she just blew me away. So that would have been one. And then I can't think of her name. She's here in Des Moines with the dessert business, and then now she leads the entrepreneurial
creme.
Creme. Her story, I was about in tears with her podcast, and knowing a little bit about her and her story ahead of the podcast, just because she's from Des Moines, but it was just like super powerful and the adversity she overcame. And, you know, so there's been several moments within the podcast where you're just like, holy cow.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. So
it's good.
I think it's interesting. If you were to look at the titles, and maybe I'm particularly attentive to this because I'm looking at the titles. But like, if you were just flying by, there's a number of things where you could go, that's going to be dry.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, who's the process guy? The process guy was awesome.
He was.
Great interview.
Josh Dunwoody.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Right. And you're like, oh, God, the guy talking about process, the guy talking about disability insurance. Like, these are things where they feel like they're going to be dry. But the reality is they're topics, and underneath those topics are humans and then things that attach to humans. We care about processes because humans are doing them.
Right.
You know, we care about disability insurance because not only are people buying and selling it and engaging with it, but like that's hitting your grandparents. It's hitting your parents. Uh-huh, and so like if we can get past what feels dry because it feels unfamiliar, what you find is that like there's all kinds of gray and deep and awesome and all kinds of things that people are doing that would surprise you.
Right.
Yeah, to piggyback off that, I feel like we could have anybody on the show and everyone has an uncommon life. Like we can just highlight because everybody has like their own little thing and like you just need to be encouraged. Like, no, your life is your life and it's uncommon and you're valuable.
Yeah. So, we did an event with Josh Dunwoody and I hadn't seen him in that context and I should have known that he would be great because he's in the military, he's leading guys. I mean, he's a dynamic guy. He blew it out. I mean, it was amazing. So I echo you that on Josh.
Awesome. All right. We're gonna take the slide whistle the other direction. Okay.
Yes.
Can you talk to me about a podcast where you came, you saw, and you barely made it through? Like it just felt like you weren't in it.
You ready for this? I got one that's going to knock your socks off.
Go ahead.
The biggest like name that we've ever had on our podcast.
Probably the guy with the most followers.
For sure.
Social.
Yep. Jordan Harbinger. Is that her name?
Harbinger. Yeah. So 6 million downloads a month, Jordan Harbinger.
Like major dude.
Yeah.
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 Nope. Nope, I'm out. I'm out. Man, it was like, it was just so methodical. Now, here's the difference. Jesse Cole probably has done more podcasts than our boy Jordan.
Yeah.
Come at me, bro. But Jesse made it exciting.